I want to turn to Psalm chapter 3, verse 3. The Lord encouraged me in a special way last week, and I want to pass on that encouragement to all of you. Psalm chapter 3, verse 3, there's a wonderful description of God that's almost not found anywhere else in the Bible. Psalm 3, verse 3 says, "My glory and the lifter up of my head." And that's what God is, brothers and sisters. He wants to lift our head from all shame and sin and discouragement, condemnation and accusation of the devil and all the guilt of the past. You know, the reason why many people are discouraged is they listen to the devil. The devil says so many things. You're useless. God doesn't love you. God doesn't care for you. Nothing good will happen to you. And you should not be saying amen to that. Jesus said, whenever the devil tempted him, "Get behind me, Satan." That's what you should be saying. But if you listen to the Lord and His word, you'll always get encouraged. And I want to encourage all the brothers and sisters, shall we all join together in one voice and say, "My glory and the lifter of my head." He is my glory and the lifter of my head. And keep saying that to yourself throughout the week, and you'll find the Lord helping you. And 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. Here's another expression of God that's fantastic. Apostle Paul had walked with the Lord. If he'd asked Apostle Paul, "Can you give me a testimony about God?" And he would say this, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort or encouragement." Apostle Paul went through many, many, many trials. And after all that, you ask him, "Paul, can you please tell me something about the Lord?" He will say, "He encouraged me in every trial so that we can encourage others." In other words, dear brothers and sisters, God's great longing is to take us through many, many trials and give us encouragement and comfort in every trial so that your bank account becomes very, very big. So that anyone who is discouraged, you should be able to give them encouragement. Hello. From today, make sure that your account increases in this bank of heaven. There's another lovely verse here, Isaiah chapter 66, 13, verse 13. The Lord says, "As a mother comforts her children," Isaiah chapter 66, verse 13, "as one whom his mother comforts, so will I comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem." Oh, can I hear an amen for that? All the young people, that's how God is. He wants to comfort you. He wants to encourage you. And He will not discourage you. You know, life is not easy for all of us. We all face many temptations in life. But one of the big temptations we encounter is to get discouraged and give up hope. Hence, all of us need encouragement continually. You know, our children, they need to be encouraged to attend the church and Sunday school and even the regular secular school. They will usually gladly do so if they only receive proper encouragement from adults. Teens and young people. Teens is one of the most difficult periods in life. Teens tend to get discouraged very soon. They need extra encouragement. Young people, they also need much encouragement because they go through a period of instability and tend to give up soon. All the couples, when they get married, they're so excited. They also need discouragement because afterwards they discover that married life is not that easy when they confront many problems in marriage. You know, there's a lovely verse in Ruth chapter 2, verse 13. Ruth was not yet married, But yet, she told this lovely verse, Ruth chapter 2 verse 13. You have comforted me. And I hope all the couples, you speak in such a way that you can comfort your partner. And husbands and wives, they also need much encouragement. I think many husbands and wives don't speak words of encouragement to each other. And I don't know, in India, they're very shy. Many wives are very shy to speak words of encouragement to their husbands. And I think even husbands are very shy. And I want to tell you, you want a good marriage, learn to speak words of encouragement to each other, not once in a while, daily. And see if it doesn't make a difference. Parents also need much encouragement. Being a parent can be a heavy load. They need all the encouragement they can get. And elderly people, widows, single people, they also need encouragement. Sick and afflicted, you know, they need encouragement, because when you are sick, you tend to get discouraged more. Pain and suffering can easily cause you to lose hope. And the leaders, the shepherds, you know, there's one person who needs encouragement, and you'll be surprised who it is. That's the shepherds. Because very few shepherds get encouraged by others in the church. Without exception, all the brothers and sisters need constant encouragement to grow in the Lord. See, it says in Hebrews chapter 3 verse 13. I'm sure most of us know it by heart, but it's still good for us to look at it. It's a lovely verse. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 13. But encourage one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened to the deceitfulness of sin. This one verse, if you obey it, can revolutionize your life, your personal life and your church life. You know why? Encouragement can save you from hardness, from deception. And encouragement will give you a soft heart. Okay, encouragement one another means, it's not just the preacher. It means you and I. It's a command for everyone. All can't preach, all can't teach, all can't exercise many spiritual gifts, but all can encourage. In case you didn't get it, it's repeated again in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. We can read from 24. Maybe verse 23. Let's hold fast the confession of faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let's consider one another to love, provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves, as the manner of some is. Some people either forsake the assembly or they come late. I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, it's a good discipline to come to the meeting on time or even earlier. This is for encouraging one another. I want to ask you this morning, why did you come to the meeting? You just come, sit and listen and go? Can you say, I've come to the meeting today to praise the Lord? I come to the meeting to encourage my brothers and sisters. That's the New Covenant Church. So don't just come, sit, listen and go away. Ask God to help you to obey this verse. Lord, your word says encourage one another. That means me. Lord, give me a gift. Give me a ministry of encouragement. You know, there's one church in the book, in the Bible, the New Testament. It's the church of Thessalonica. That is a wonderful church. And it says here, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. Wherefore, encourage yourselves together, daily for one another, even as also you do. You know, Paul loved this church. And he was a real, true father. And he always wanted to see how things are going in this church. And when he couldn't go, he sent Timothy to encourage them. He was always concerned, is it going well with the brothers and sisters? And this church, it says they learned to encourage one another. And you see in chapter 3 verse 2 how Paul sent Timothy to encourage them. And again, when Paul heard that it was going well with them, he was really encouraged. And one more verse in 1 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which has loved us and has given us everlasting comfort and good hope through grace, comfort or encourage your hearts and establish you in every good work. That was Paul's longing for this church, that this church in Thessalonica, they should be really encouraged and they should grow in the Lord. Okay. I want to quickly show you some people who encouraged others in the Old Testament. Joseph was in the jail, but he was cheerful and encouraged others in the jail. Joshua and Caleb, they encouraged others, let's go up and possess the land of Canaan. And it says in 1 Samuel chapter 23, there's a lovely verse for all the young people. 1 Samuel chapter 23 verse 16. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and encouraged his hand in God. I'm a great fan of Jonathan and David. Jonathan and David loved the Lord. They had fellowship in the Spirit. It was not superficial playing together or working together. Both of them encouraged each other in the Lord. And I believe that's a mark of fellowship. And you know, David himself, when he was young, he had a great walk with the Lord. And once upon a time, David was a bit discouraged. And he went to the land of Philistines, thinking he can escape from Saul. And he joined Saul's army. And when the enemy, Philistines, wanted to go and fight against Israel, David also joined with them. But the captain said, no, we don't want David to come along with us. So the king called David and said, David, you please go back. We don't want you to come. I know you've been loyal to me, but my captains don't want you. So David was a bit discouraged and he went back home. And when he went back home, he had a surprise of his life. Some of the enemies came along and took away his wives, children, property. And when his friends heard that, they wanted to stone him. 1 Samuel chapter 30 verse 6. And David was greatly distressed because they thought of stoning him. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. What a fantastic verse this is. Can you say that? I don't think any of us here sitting here, have you lost your wife and children and property? Still, David went and encouraged him. You know how David went and encouraged himself? In the midst of so much discouragement, I think he laid hold of his harp and went alone and started praising the Lord and rose above his circumstances in a spirit of faith, prayer, praise. And no wonder it says later on he spoke to the Lord and the Lord told him, yeah, you go and pursue the enemies. And the Lord gave him victory over all the enemies. And same chapter 30 verse 18 it says, David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And that's what the Lord wants to do for us, brothers and sisters. He wants to lift our head from all sin and shame and defeat and discouragement and help us to recover all that the devil has stolen from our lives. Okay, I want to show you some examples of the New Covenant. In the New Testament, Jesus was a great encourager. You read that in the Gospels, Matthew chapter 9, verse 2. You know, Jesus told some fantastic words. Matthew chapter 9, verse 2. They brought a sick man, paralyzed, to him in a bed. Jesus, seeing the face, said unto the sick of Asi, son, be of good cheer, because your sins are forgiven. I like that verse. Jesus looked at this man and said, be of good cheer. I want to show you the three cheers that Jesus spoke. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, when your sins are forgiven, you have every reason to be of good cheer. I find so many people amongst us, they've lost the joy of salvation. And they say, oh brother, I'm feeling like this. I'm feeling low, brother. I'm feeling heavy, brother. Why can't you rejoice that your name is written in the book of life? that you've been forgiven, that you're reconciled, that all the guilt of the past has been wiped out. Be of good cheer, brothers and sisters, because your sins are forgiven. And one more verse, Matthew 14, verse 27. Here the disciples were in a storm, and then Jesus came walking on the sea, and they got scared. And again Jesus said, verse 27, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Are you scared of many trials, storms, are difficult in your life? In the midst of the trial, the Lord will come near you and say, be of good cheer. You feel the Lord speak that verse to you? According to your faith be it unto you. The presence of God takes away fear in the midst of storms and trials. And John, one more, three cheers. The third cheer is John 16, verse 33. Jesus said, in the world you shall have tribulation. So don't expect a life free from trials and difficulties. We will always have trials and difficulties and tribulation till the Lord comes. But be of good cheer. I say everybody is very serious. Jesus said, be of good cheer. And if you are in fellowship with Jesus, you will be of good cheer. You will receive encouragement from the Lord. And oh, may we always hear words of appreciation from the Lord. Okay. I want to show you another wonderful brother who was a great encourager. That's Apostle Paul, who followed Jesus. Paul followed the Lord and he experienced tremendous trials, but through it all, he got so much comfort. You see, once he was put in a jail and beaten up, like they say, black and blue, Acts chapter 16, verse 40. And after such sound thrashing, you know what he was doing? He and Silas, they praised the Lord. Brothers and sisters, I don't think any of us have been to a jail. I don't think many of us have been beaten. But we didn't praise the Lord today, like Paul and Silas. I hope next week onwards, you'll praise the Lord better. In the prison, he praised the Lord. To such an extent, the prison doors, the foundation was shaken, the doors were open. And then finally, they let him go. And verse 40. And they went out of the prison and entered the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they encouraged them and departed. I really admire Apostle Paul. After sound thrashing, he's going and encouraging others. Don't tell me that's not possible for you. See, later on we read in Acts chapter 18. Paul came to Corinth. And the Lord told Paul, verse 9, be of good cheer, Paul. Don't be afraid. Hold not your peace, I am with you. And no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in the city. The Lord always encouraged Paul. See in chapter 23, verse 11. Chapter Acts 23:11. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul. The Lord called Paul by name. I hope you hear the Lord speaking to you. Maybe you are discouraged this morning. Oh, the Lord doesn't love me. The Lord is not interested in me. I want to say the Lord loves you, cares for you. And he will say, be of good cheer. And later on in Acts chapter 27, Paul, he went through a rough journey in the sea, and he started encouraging others. Verse 25, wherefore says, be of good cheer. You know, when the Lord encourages you, you will encourage others. I believe the reason why many can't encourage others is they're not encouraged by the Lord. I want to tell you, let the Lord encourage you and you will be able to encourage others. And supposing Paul was in a meeting and you'd ask Paul, Apostle Paul, can you give a small testimony? You know what Apostle Paul will say? 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 1. Therefore seeing we have this ministry, we have received mercy, we do not get discouraged. Brothers and sisters, that's how we must testify. Verse 16. For which cause we faint not. We don't get discouraged. But though out man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 8. We are of good courage. If you listen to Apostle Paul, you will not get discouraged, brothers and sisters. And again, Acts chapter 28, verse 15. You know, what is the secret of Apostle Paul? Acts chapter 28, verse 15. From thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appi Forum and the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. Paul saw some brothers and sisters, he was encouraged. You know, Paul surrounded himself with many, many godly friends who would encourage him. I want to ask you, young brothers and sisters, I'll give you some homework. Are you familiar with the friends of Paul? Don't tell me, brother, where are they? It is found in Romans chapter 16. I'm not going to read them. 1 Corinthians 16, Colossians chapter 4. Big list. I counted it's more than 52. Young brothers and sisters, how many godly friends you have? Do you have 52? Hello? Do you have so many godly brothers who can surround you, who can encourage you? You know, once Paul said, we were God who comforted us by the coming of Titus. Brother Titus came to visit Paul, and Paul got encouraged. That is fellowship. And you know, Apostle Paul had a wonderful brother, Barnabas, who encouraged him. Honestly, for us, I call all these tongue twisters. I can't even pronounce many of the names. He says, he refreshed me often. Oh, may God give you such wonderful friends who can refresh you. Stephanus and Fortunatus, Achaeus, he says, they refresh me. I hope you'll discover the friends of Paul. Okay, and Barnabas, Acts chapter 4, 36, his name was Son of Encouragement. And Acts 11, 24, he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit. Oh, he encouraged Paul. He was the kind of person who you wanted to have around you as you're serving the Lord. He was not just a spiritual cheerleader. He was a man of great conviction. He wanted to see the church flourish. And he could, and did all he could to make it happen. Ask God to make you like Barnabas. And let's ask God to give us a heart like Barnabas. Timothy also was a great encourager. Paul sent Timothy to Ephesus, Thessalonica, and Corinth to encourage. Okay, I want to read you about the power of encouragement. I want to read to you some words about encouragement. Encouragement is like oxygen in the life of a church. It keeps hearts beating, minds clear, and hands inspired to serve. When encouragement is absent from the life of a church, people feel unloved, unimportant, useless, and forgotten. God knows His people are in need of grace-filled reminders, so He calls us to encourage each other every day. Encouragement includes appreciation of others, but it's not merely complimenting others. Not just saying, you look nice, your dress is nice. Encouragement will lift your heart to the Lord, His word and His promises. Encouragement was a regular part of the early church life. Regularly encourage a shepherd. Tell him that you are blessed by the message and counsel and encourage him. Pray to God that God will create a culture of encouragement in our church. Encouragement makes it easier to live the Christian life. Encouragement makes it easier to love us to Jesus in love. Encouragement gives us hope. Encouragement helps us through times of discipline and testing. Hebrews 12:5. Encouragement nurtures patience and kindness. And I want to conclude with a story. I read a story this week. It really blessed my heart. And I just display it as I read it quickly. My time is running out. A minister passing, minister means a preacher or a pastor or a shepherd. He was passing through his church in the middle of the day, decided to pass by the altar and see who had come to pray. Just then the back door opened, a man came down the aisle. The minister frowned as he saw the man hadn't shaved in a while. He was dressed shabbily. The man knelt, bowed his head, then rose and walked away. In the days that followed, each noon time came this person. Each time he knelt for a moment, and this preacher was suspicious. He thought maybe this man is a robber. So he asked the man, what are you doing here? The old man said, he worked down the road. Lunch was half an hour. Lunchtime was prayer time for finding strength and power. I stay only a few moments here, he said, because the factory is so far away. As I kneel here talking to the Lord, this is what I say. This old man telling the preacher, I just came again to tell you, Lord, how happy I've been since we found each other's friendship. And you took away my sin. I don't know much how to pray, but I think about you every day, Lord. So Jesus, this is Jim checking in today. This preacher or shepherd, whoever it is, he felt so foolish, told Jim that was fine. He told the man he was welcome to come and pray. And Jim smiled and said thanks and went away. Then the preacher, his heart melted. He knelt there and with tears, he repeated the prayer of Jim. I just came again to tell you, Lord, how happy I've been since we found each other's friendship and you took away my sin. I don't know much to pray, but I think about it every day. This is the preacher's name, he said, me checking in. Okay, and to cut the story short, after some time, this man, old man, stopped coming to the church, and the preacher found, he wanted to find out why this man is not coming. He checked him in the hospital, and he was admitted in the hospital, and the nurse told him, nobody's coming to see him. Nobody's giving any flowers. So the preacher went and asked, this Jim, is it true that nobody's coming to see you? And Jim said, no, the nurse is wrong. She couldn't know that in here, a dear friend of mine, he comes, he sits right down, takes my hand, leans over and says to me, just notice this, brothers and sisters, lovely verse. This is Jesus telling Jim, I just came again to tell you, Jim, how happy I have been since we found this friendship and I took away your sin. I always love to hear you pray. I think about you each day. And so, Jim, this is Jesus checking in. Brothers and sisters, let our midweek meetings and Sundays be times of great encouragement. Pray, Lord, make me an encourager. Help me to encourage my family. Shall we just close eyes and pray 1 minute? Say, Lord, I don't want to just be a meeting attender. I don't want to be a passive, lazy, lukewarm brother and sister. Make me an encourager, Lord. Help me to encourage the brothers and sisters. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for a God of encouragement. Thank you, Lord. You are a glory and the lifter of our head. I pray this morning you will strengthen and encourage everybody, Lord. And make our church a church of encouragement till you come, Lord. Oh, change our lives from today, Lord. Help us to honor you. Help us to make the church glorious. We give you praise and thanks and worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We heard that God is the glory and the lifter of our heads. God doesn't want us to walk with our heads bowed down and discouraged and go through life in a half beaten. Not like that. There's a verse in Leviticus 26, verse 13, it says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt so that you should not be their slaves. And I broke the bars of yoke and made you walk erect. You know, the reason why God called us and brought us into the church, into his family, is so that we don't have to walk with our heads hanging down in shame or defeat or guilt or condemnation. It says, I broke the yoke, the bars of your yoke, and made you walk erect. That is the will of God for you and me. That is my God, the glory and the lifter of my head and your head. He doesn't want us to walk down or go through life defeated, discouraged, gloomy, depressed. He wants us to be happy. Would you like that for your children? Would you like your children to be sad and gloomy and discouraged, you know, hiding away all the time? No, you want your children to come running towards you, hugging you and kissing you and talking to you, sitting on your lap. That's how God is. He wants his children to be like that. I was thinking particularly about one person who encouraged two people. Because of that, there is so much of stuff in the Bible. You'll see that. You can turn with me to Acts 4:36. It says, Joseph, A Levite of Cyprian birth, who was also called Barnabas by the apostles. See, his name was not Barnabas. His original name is Joseph. But he was called Barnabas by the apostles. Maybe they gave him a nickname because he was a man who would go around encouraging people all the time. Wherever Barnabas was, people were happy to be around, and they were all the time encouraged, because some people say, the moment I see so-and-so brother, so-and-so, I get encouraged. Even though he doesn't speak, he doesn't come around and put his arms around me, the moment I see his face, I get encouraged. You know, this man was like that. Barnabas was like that. And probably because of his presence and his cheerful attitude, maybe the apostles gave him a name called Barnabas. Barnabas means son of encouragement. Barnabas. Abbas means, son of the father. Son of encouragement. And he owned a tract of land and sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. It says in chapter 9. Chapter 9 is the chapter where, you know, Saul just was converted on the road to Damascus, and then he was going around preaching the gospel, going from strength to strength. But it says here in chapter 9 verse 26 that when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he was trying to associate with the disciples, and they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple. See, if Saul was just converted, and many people didn't know about it because they only knew about his past, that there is a sort of a terrorist here, if I may use that word. In those days, he was considered to be a terrorist, and when he went to Jerusalem to associate with the disciples, they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took hold of him and brought him to the apostles and described to them as to how he had seen the Lord on the road, and that he had talked to him, and how at Damascus he had spoken out boldly in the name of Jesus. And then he was with them, moving about freely in Jerusalem, speaking out boldly in the name of the Lord. See, this man was considered a threat, and people always tried to avoid him. But I don't know what would have happened if Barnabas was not around. You know, Barnabas came around, he put his arm around this man and he hugged him, and he took him to the disciples and he introduced him to them and told them as to how he got converted on the way to Damascus, and how he became a disciple, and how he is encouraging others today. And seeing that, the church accepted him, and then it says he was moving about freely in Jerusalem with them. And then it says in chapter 11 verse 22, it says, the news about them, that is, you read the earlier verses, it says the news about what was happening in Antioch reached the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas off to Antioch. And then when he had come and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them again, the word encouragement, with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and faith. And then after considerable number were brought to the Lord, he left for Tarsus to look for Saul. See, Saul had gone to Tarsus now. He went in search of Saul at Tarsus, and then he finds him, and he brought him to Antioch. And it came about that for an entire year they met with the church and taught considerable numbers, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. He preached there, and they were there, Saul and Barnabas, for one full year. They preached and made many disciples, and the church was growing. And then we read in Galatians 2:1 that after 14 years, then again Paul and Barnabas, we read. That means Paul and Barnabas must have been together for at least 15 to 20 years together and served the Lord. And then we read in the next chapter, in chapter 13, the first missionary journey of Paul. It says here in verse 2, "And as they were ministering the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.' And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hand on them, they sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And when they reached Salamis, they began to proclaim the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they also had John as their helper." And verse 13 again in the same chapter, "Now Paul and his companions put out to sea, and from Paphos, and came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John left them and returned to Jerusalem." This John was along with Barnabas and Saul. After a while, John was a young man, and probably he was not so inclined to be around with Paul and Barnabas, even though Barnabas was his relative. And maybe at a later date he thought he better quit, and he left them, he forsook them, and he went away. And then you come to chapter 15 verse 36. After some time, when they came back from their first missionary journey, they wanted to go back again. Here Paul says to Barnabas, "Let us return and visit the brethren in every city in which we proclaim the word of God. Let's see how they are faring." And then Barnabas was desirous of taking John, called Mark. His name was John Mark, along with him, with them also. But Paul kept insisting that they should not take him along, who had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And then the next verse says here that there arose such a sharp disagreement that they separated from one another. See, even though they were there for a number of years working together, when it came to choosing John Mark again, taking him on a second missionary journey, Paul said, "Nothing doing. He left us first time. I am not going to take him along with me." And they had such a sharp disagreement, it says, they separated from one another. Very sad. Paul and Barnabas get separated here. And Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. Paul chose Silas and departed. See, man's mistakes can be overlooked and turned around by God Almighty. They made a mistake, but God blessed them still. There became two teams, Paul and Silas one side and Barnabas and John Mark one side. And there became two teams, and they went, and God blessed their ministry. And God blessed their ministry. And then we read in 2 Timothy towards the end of his life, when Paul is writing to Timothy, he says in 2 Timothy 4, verse 11, he says, "Only Luke is with me. Pick up Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for service." You see, Barnabas gave him a second chance. Because Barnabas gave him a second chance, Mark got restored. And he came back into the fold and became a co-worker with not only Barnabas, but also with Paul. And towards the end of his life, Paul says, "Pick up Mark. He is useful to me in the ministry." Just think of it, what loss we would have had if only Barnabas was not there. If Barnabas was not around, what would have happened to us? Just think about that. We wouldn't have had the gospel of Mark. If Mark also was discouraged and gone away, and Barnabas had not given him a second chance, the Gospel of Mark wouldn't be there in the Bible today. And if Barnabas was not around and Paul had not been introduced to the disciples, probably he also would have gone discouraged and depressed. And I don't know whether we would have heard about Paul at all. But because of this man Barnabas, we have today 13 to 14 epistles in the New Testament written by Paul. So that makes it totally about 14 to 15 books in the New Testament. Just because of one man, Barnabas. If Barnabas was not around, probably our New Testament would be 27 minus 15. Just think about it. Think about to be a brother like brother Barnabas. He was not a very eloquent man like Apollos. The Bible doesn't speak about Barnabas as an excellent speaker or a man well versed in scripture or anything like that. But he was just called a brother, encouraging brother. His very presence or a few words of encouragement itself would have made such a huge difference in the lives of people. And we thank God today that Barnabas was there, and because of him we have 14, 15 extra books in the Bible. Praise God for that. Let's strive to be encouragers like Barnabas. Amen.
My dear brothers and sisters, God is the God of encouragement. We heard many things about encouragement, but we need encouragement. We have to encourage one another. You know, God has given us some birthright. You know, birthrights are, you know, rejoice in the Lord all the time. But enemies always tries to discourage us. Always he wants us to be in discouraged mode, condemnation mode. You know, we see many young people are discouraged and they live in condemnation. That's not God's will, my brothers and sisters. We have to be like a warriors. We have to fight against the devil. We should not allow him to put condemnation in our mind. You know, warriors have three responsibilities. One is they have to fight, they have to safeguard themselves, and they have to safeguard the people of the country, and they have to glorify the king, they have to glorify the Lord. Lord, this is not your will that enemies should come and rule my mind. Your word says sin shall not rule over my mind. I want to fight it against Lord so that I can be preserved myself, I can preserve my people, I can glorify your name. God is a God of encouragement, my brothers and sisters. You know, enemy always try to discourage us by various methods. We have to be alert to this. You know, I was very much encouraged. You know, somebody corrected me for something which I didn't do it. And you know, when people correct, maybe some misunderstanding. As young people, we tend to go to the mode of condemnation. Hey, somebody corrected me, I've gone through this trouble. But I was wondering, Lord, you know I didn't do this. Why I should go through the discouragement or condemnation? So I came back to the room, mother's room, and I was just lying down on the bed, saying, Lord, I don't want to accept this. I don't want to be discouraged. I was lying down. You know, God is a God of encouragement. Somebody knocked at my door. A brother who never comes to my room, he came, and just we had such an encouraging time. I really felt God sent his angel to encourage me. You're not orphan, my brothers and sisters. God is watching over you. God is encouraging you. Believe me. Sorry. Well, you know, one man whom I like much was discouraged. Peter. If you turn with me to John chapter 21. You know, this man, you know the blunder he made, the Peter. We could call him as a man of blunders. You know, he had a big mouth and he used to do a lot of things which was foolish. But God loved him and he loved the Lord. He was like a bouncing ball, you know. The ball, the ball which has the air in it. If there's no air, you drop it down, it won't bounce. But this man had air in his ball. I'll come to that analogy later. You know, Peter, he was discouraged. And John chapter 21 verse 3. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. He said a discouraging word. He was discouraged. He wanted to go back into his old world. Because of his discouraging word, you know what happened? In the second statement, we also will come with you. Whenever we say a discouraging word, the people around us get discouraged, my brothers and sisters. We have to have an encouraging word. We have to be careful in our words. We should not speak a word of unbelief. We should not speak a word of discouragement. It will discourage the people around us. We have to be like a warriors. We have to be safeguarding ourselves and others. And they also went for fishing. But Peter didn't want to go for fishing. Because of discouragement, he decided to go. Verse 7. You know, Jesus did not leave him there. Okay, you want to go fishing? Go get lost. He didn't leave there. Jesus came after him, my brothers and sisters. God is coming after you. Whenever you feel you are discouraged, whenever you feel condemned, God is knocking at your heart. Let's realize that. You know, the disciple. You know the story. You can go through the chapter later. Disciples. Jesus came to the sea. Disciple, therefore, who loved Jesus, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." The moment he recognized the Lord is there near the seashore, he put his outer garment, he jumped, he threw himself into the sea. That's how we need to come back, bounce back, my brothers and sisters. And here, verse 12, John chapter 21, verse 12. Come and have breakfast. You know, we don't see a big prayer meeting or anywhere here. The Peter, we don't even see him, he's repenting and he beating his heart. But he had a heart. You know, Jesus encouraged him, come and have breakfast, come and dine. My brothers and sisters, God is calling you to come and dine with him today, now. So, we see that. That's a very encouraging statement. And here, this is a very important thing. All those who think you have failed, all those who are living in condemnation, let me prophesy, God has a purpose for you. God has a ministry for you. God has a plan for you. God has a work for you. God has a task for you. Here we see, verse 15. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of man, do you love me more than this? Simon, do you love me? You know, Simon replied, yes, Lord, I love you. That's what I call it as the ball, you know. Simon had an air in his ball, love in his ball, love in his heart. That's why even though he fell down, he could bounce back. Let's our heart be filled with God's love, my brothers and sisters. You know what Jesus said? Tend my lamb. Go take care of my people. Go take care of my sheep. Verse 16. Again, this we see the same. Do you love me? Peter says, Lord, you know. Again, Jesus says, shepherd my sheep. So don't think you are orphan, my brothers and sisters. God has a purpose for you. Whatever the blunder you committed, we can go back to the Lord like Peter. We can bounce back to the Lord. God will give us a ministry. God has a ministry for you. God has a purpose for you. You know, as I said, we have to be like a warriors. We have to fight against the lies of the devil. I like one man who was a warrior. You know, if you turn with me to 1 Samuel, chapter 17, verse 45. You know, here we know the story of Goliath and how he comes. You know, many times our failures, our habits comes and haunts like a Goliath, my brothers and sisters. He haunts like a Goliath. Many people live in this fear. Lord, I'm going to fall here. I can't overcome this. And they live in such a condemnation. Here, David didn't want to accept this condemnation. David didn't want this enemy to come and rule him. Here, verse 45, David said to Philistine, you come to me with a sword and a spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord and host, the God of the armies and Israel, whom you have taunted. We should not allow our condemnation to taunt us. We can go to the, we can tell the condemnation, you are not going to rule me. I'm going to come to you in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. We have to have this warrior spirit. Yeah, again, and verse 47. Therefore, the battle is the Lord's. You know, battle is the Lord. We need not fight. God can fight for us. I see most of the young people are condemned, discouraged because of so many unrealistic reasons. We can come to the Lord, my brothers and sisters. We can be like a David. We can be in two categories. We can be in a sympathy begging condition, or we can be like David. I don't want to allow this to rule me. And verse 35, the same chapter, verse 35 or 34. David said to Saul, your servant is tending his father's sheep, and a lion and bear came and took the lamb from the flock. I went after him and attacked him and rescued it from his mouth. And he rose up again. I seized him from the heart. What I'm trying to say is, you know, David had a heart for the people around him, the animals with him. We have to have the David's heart. We should not be always looking inwards. We can fight. We can say, brothers, don't be discouraged. I'm fighting for you. I'm interceding for you. We can be like Peter's. I believe when we start interceding for others, we start encouraging others, we will not be living in this condemnation. Amen.
Praise God for what we heard today. God is a God of encouragement. You know, one of the tools that devil uses to knock us down is the discouragement. But like we heard, we can rise up and we can overcome the discouragement. I was thinking that when discouragement is missing in our lives, you know, we can feel unloved, unimportant, useless, forgotten, insecure, filled with fear. That is what happens. But you know, God is a God of encouragement. We heard much today. Jesus is the encourager. We heard, why do we need to encourage? I want to read that verse we read from Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 12. Take care, brethren, that there not be any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today. An evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. That's what we tend to. God gives us a today as an opportunity where we can encourage, we can lift up, we can encourage people. You know, I was thinking of Jesus. We heard about Jesus, how he was a great encourager. We read about the instances where it's mentioned about take courage. And we read in Matthew chapter 9 and about paralytic. And then we read about a woman who was in sickness and she touched the fringe of cloth of Jesus and Jesus said, take courage. And then we read about the disciples, they were in the boat and they were full of fear when they saw Jesus walking on the water. Jesus said, take courage. And we also heard about Peter. You know, I was thinking about Peter a little more in Luke chapter 22. Peter was a disciple. You know, he was always quick. Like many of us who say that we want to love the Lord and we have a desire, but many times we fail. And Peter, Luke chapter 22 verse 31. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like a wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And you, when once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. My brothers and sisters, the Satan wants to, you know, turn our faith. And he wants to tear our faith an evil and unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. That's what he's doing. But we as a God's children, we can challenge it and we can say, Lord, that you will help me and I want to get encouraged like David, and I want to encourage one another so that they will not be turned away from the living God. And that's what God wants to do in our life. And and further on we read about Peter did fail, and verse 61, the Lord turned and looked at Peter, and Peter remembered the words of the Lord. You know, it was when the Lord turned out, it's not like, I told you, Peter, see, you have failed. No. It's a smiling face. It's saying, it's okay, Peter, you failed, but you can make it again. Today, the Lord looks at us young people, whatever the condition may be, the Lord looks at you with happiness. And if you turn to Him, if you give yourself to the Lord, and He looks at you like the look that He gave to the Peter. This chorus I remember, oh, the sunshine, blessed sunshine, when the peaceful, happy moments roll, when Jesus shows his smiling face, there's a sunshine in my soul. Do you want that sunshine? My brothers and sisters, young people, you can experience that today if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. And I believe that God wants to do that in our life. And Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord God, I want to turn to that verse in closing, Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God is in your midst, a victorious warrior. He will exult over you with joy. He will be quiet in his love. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy. My brothers and sisters, each time when we come to God, that he is not frowning at you, he is rejoicing over you. He is silently planning for you in love. May we turn to such a God. What a wonderful Savior we have. What a wonderful God who is the God of encouragement. We heard about many young people. You know, there is no excuse like Joseph. Even though he was in a prison, he could encourage people. We heard about many others. My dear young people, I want to challenge you. Let nothing constrain you of being an encourager. May we determine in our heart that I want to be an encourager. And I believe that God will help us. You know, when you encourage others, it will help you, that you will grow in the Lord. May God help us.